This podcast is for educational purposes only and does not constitute a doctor-patient relationship. If you have specific questions or concerns, we encourage you to consult a health professional in your local area.
From Changelog Media, this is Brain Science, a podcast for the curious. We're exploring the inner workings of the human brain to understand behavior change, habit formation, mental health, and what it means to be human. It's brain science applied, not just how does the brain work, but how do we apply what we know about the brain to transform our lives. I'm Adam Stachowiak.
And I'm Dr. Marielle Reese.
So we're back. This is Brain Science, Marielle. And it's good to see you again.
It's great to see you too. It's been a while.
It's been a short minute. And I think like anything in life, whenever you make commitments, whenever you create something new, you have to think, can I sustain this thing? Can I keep the clip that I'm going at? Is what I'm doing today sustainable for tomorrow? And sometimes you have to ask those questions and make hard choices. And for us, things in your life and things in my life and our business have gotten complex over the last couple of years. You know, an apology to the listeners, but we had to push pause. But it was an actual pause button, not a quit button. It wasn't command Q. It was just simply pause, which is a good thing. What do you think?
Yeah, yes, indeed. I mean, having worked with a lot of people over a number of years, you know, decisions are a thing. And I've often said, like, when you don't know, you don't go. And so that really gets at pause. Like, we had a number of things for you and for me that, you know, complicated what we were doing. And so just taking sort of like a long breath.
Yeah,
because,
for sure.
You know, the desire hasn't waned.
No. I think the desire has been there for the listenership. And I think the desire has been there for us. And I got to give a shout out to many people over the last months and years who have like just reached out about the show saying, hey, when's it coming back? I love this show. Like, it's changed my mindset. It's changed how I think about decisions. It's changed, you know, that show, Your Choice is Your Superpower. Like, to me, that is a perfect show to share with people who don't understand the power of their choice and just helps people think differently. There's a lot of different shows we could reference. And that was actually the challenge for me, was because I was like referencing our podcast when helping people essentially like, hey, you would love this show. And I'm sad that it's on a hiatus. However, the catalog that is there is so fruitful. So please go listen. But telling people to go listen to a podcast that's on hiatus is kind of challenging because you kind of feel embarrassed as the maker and creator of it, you know? It's different if you're just a fan, but like,
yeah,
I just found myself referencing the show often.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Like, a huge shout out and thank you to all the listeners, because, you know, I've repeatedly been asked, like, are you going to do more? Like, are you going to come back? And, you know, just really important. I love being able to create and share so that other people have these tools and skills. Like, I think I've shared in other shows about like working with people clinically, you know, my goal is always to work myself out of a job, that much of where people get stuck is simply running out of a knowledge base to work from. And they think that there's only two options. And so I would hope that we can continue that journey, that people, you know, have more tools and skills and ways to think about things throughout their lives, to evaluate where they want to go, what's important to them, and really cultivate the life that they want to live.
I can barely count the amount of times I've said, be your own scientist, things like that, that we have said on, you know, on this podcast several times. I've just have referenced several things we've said, and it's good. But it's also quite sad because it hasn't been here. But part of our conversation today is on a high performance mindset, not just simply habits, not just simply the way you think, but, you know, some sort of framework, some sort of lessons in that. And I think one of the things of being a high performer or having a high performing mind or mindset is knowing what you can control. And I think for us, when it came to the show, we knew we couldn't control the cadence that was going on and things like that. And so, just as a trait, you know, maybe a somewhat segue to the actual topic that we plan to talk about today is just that, is knowing what you control and operating around that and just knowing what you can and can't do within a certain boundary. I think that's awareness, right? That's grounding. That's being present in your choice. It's a lot of different components, but in a larger lesson, but knowing what you can control is a huge key for high performance.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I'm like, there's what comes to mind when you say that is actually like being more reflective, you know? So we don't have awareness without reflecting upon things. And so looking at patterns in your life to go, how is this working? You know, is even interesting in day to day, there was a situation wherein I was asking for feedback with like, how is this working? Is it really achieving the goal that we want? And going, you know, yes, maybe no, but sort of
tell me,
right. But giving the opportunity to evaluate. And so to step back and look at things from different angles to go, is this really working? And that I think that is so much of what's fun in life is to be able to repeatedly examine things and go, what are the variables involved with X decision, what I'm doing, where I'm investing my time, my energy, because you can pivot at any point in time. And knowing that fulcrum around here's the 2, 3, 5 variables that I have charge over to manipulate, like, I think that's incredibly empowering and exciting because you can go, oh my gosh, I'm not stuck. Mm-hmm. Here's a different way we can look at going.
Is being high performance predicated on, say, your attributes, your beauty, your height, your muscle, you know, all the different things that people seem to have vanity around or feels insecure about when they look in the mirror or when they judge themselves? Like, are those things the important things for high performance?
I wouldn't say that those are the things because those aren't within your charge, at least not completely, because I would say very much like athletics, you know, there's a training. So if we're going, what does high performance look like? It's learning how to actually perform. And so there's aspects of really how you think. Remember, like we've talked about, like, you know, neurons that fire together, wire together. So
yes,
our brain is this complex, you know, system of pathways that we've practiced. And so the more you do a thing, the more your brain runs that same play. And so high performance has a lot more to do with the way that you think and sort of the things that you practice over and over and over again. I'm forgetting the reference, but, you know, this is true in athletics that generally speaking, the people who are incredibly successful have done really well at practicing fundamentals like over and over and over and over again, because the body and the brain, you know, sync together so that they just have that 1/10 of a second, you know, speed to be able to do it faster than somebody else because they've done it more often.
Yeah. No hesitation. I think that's something that Kobe Bryant that was really well known for, like getting up super early, you know, not practicing once in a day, but more like 4 or 5, or I don't know how many, like it was an obscene amount of numbers. Like it was a lot, way more than his teammates were doing. And his reason was because, you know, simply that was like, the more I practice these simple things, the easier and more routine and really more just instant reaction they become when it comes time for the actual game. And also the more shots on goal, the more practice, like he's like, that's, I've got way more hours than everybody else on the court. And he would challenge his teammates to be there as early as he would. And there's anecdotes about teammates saying they could never do it, or they had challenges, or that they've only practiced the once. And so you can see how the routine of practice, the routine of building a skill, while that's physical, right? That's a physical skill. There's still a lot of mental in there because it's hand-eye coordination, a lot of different things are involved there. But it's an example of being able to practice a skill to the point where it's just simply reactive. It's just a natural reaction whenever things happen.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. And I think about, you know, just the efforts people continue to put forth, that it's really this perspective to make somewhat boring things fun. And then with that, incremental progress. So there's a goal setting mindset of like, oh my gosh, if I can do this, like I was so close, I got to X threshold, when it's like, oh my goodness, if I do 10 more, I can get to that next level and hit that skill. And I think that's really important because you have to care about the thing that you're looking to excel at. Like it has to have some sort of meaning for you, that it's like, I'm going to embrace the suck, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So I keep going in the face of, you know, being tired, you know, willpower, all those other things that, you know, that desire towards goal is going to keep you pushing.
Yes. Very hard to push through whenever you're tired, though. You know, whenever, you know, that's, I think that's a challenge for, I think, me in particular, is like when things get hard and I'm already tired and they get double hard, you know, but that's the chance to react a certain way whenever, you know, the task at hand seems insurmountable, you know, unachievable. You know, what do you do?
I pull the some thing over the no thing.
Okay.
So it's like, if I can just start or do something for 2 minutes, like then I'm not creating more of an obstacle mentally with doing whatever I'm seeking to do. Like, can you just get up? Can you just go start to write? Go spend 2 minutes in front of the computer or writing in your notebook, like whatever it is, just start. And that, again, that's still reps. If I did 2 reps, that's more than none.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. I think in conversations in preparatory for this, there was a book that you referenced that I actually had in my library that I had not listened to. And I believe it's High Performance Habits, if I recall correctly, from Brendon Burchard.
Yep.
And there was like a framework he had shared. And the reason why I asked you the question around physicality and all these other attributes is like he basically determined that it was not true, that it was really about the things you did versus the things you have. So they weren't innate abilities.
Whoa. Go back.
Okay.
That was so big. You said not the things you have, right? But the things you do.
Yes. It was more about the things you do than the things you have. And it was how you react to certain things. And there was a list he gave. I wrote them down. So maybe we can use this as at least a buffer of sorts, but he said, see clarity, these high performance habits. One of the habits is see clarity. We said this before, like clarity is so key, right? In communication for yourself, like, you know, make the unclear clear in whatever ways it may be, whether it's a communication pattern with a friend or a loved one or yourself. I mean, how you speak to yourself more clearly is certainly more helpful on being clear about where you want to go. And that leads to what you want to optimize for. Second, he said, generate energy. Raise necessity, increase productivity, develop influence, and demonstrate courage. And having been in the military, that was in our thing. To be a leader, one of the things was you had to build courage, and it was be courageous in the face of uncertainty. So it was something that's just built into me to be courageous in moments when it's just like bleak. You know what I mean? So I can attest to that one at least.
I love that. No, I think, I mean, all of those are so good. And actually, in another article that was Harvard Business Review did a, you know, sort of 10 best reads on high performance. And one of the articles highlighted this for clarity, but it really more in terms of goal setting. And I think that that's part of the fun and the action item for our listeners is going, can you get clear about your goals and get specific? You know, I mean, for some people, you know, obviously as we're coming towards the end of the year, beginning of the new year, health tends to be at a lot of people's forefront. So the difference would be, you know, can I get in better health, right? Really general, not clear. So that's like, I want to go to the US. Like, well, where? For how long? Like, what does that look like? So having the clarity about, you know, where you want to go. And I would add in a really sort of nuanced piece of how do I want to feel with achieving that goal or having that clarity? Because remember how much our feelings play a role in our decision-making and our memory, and that's going to be a driver when, you know, you're tired. You're like, yeah, but if I can remember this is the way that I want to experience myself or that trip or whatever it is, it's going to help pull you when you want to avoid it.
Well, we did a show on clarity, if you recall. It was called Clarity and Expectation, episode 29, just a few back. That was a good one too. You know, the opening line was, when you lack clarity or have uncertainty for a direction or goal, it's going to be difficult to succeed. You got to have clarity.
Yep, it is. So I would challenge you though, what do we tell someone when they're not clear?
Be your own scientist, right? Start collecting data, you know? I would say, you know, for me, the line really is clear for me when I say, what am I optimizing for? Am I optimizing for even a trip with family? It's like, you know, I'm a dad. I want to control things. I've got to keep them safe along the trip, you know, all these different things. And there's only so many things I can control, you know, and I would regulate my emotions and all that good stuff. But I'm like, man, what is our goal here? What are we trying to do? Where are we trying to go? And if you know what you're optimizing for, I think that's super, that's the beginning of clarity for me in most cases. Like, what am I trying to do? What is my real goal here? I like the things you've said before, just try it on. I love that. I mean, I've done that so many times since learning that lesson. Like, and I love this show because of that, because like it teaches me just as much. It probably teaches our audience what to think about. And for me, like big decisions and clarity, you know, have I tried it on? Have I examined what it really feels like as much as I possibly can in simulation in my own brain to say, what does this decision actually result in when I make it? You know, how are other things affected when I do this thing? You know, I think for me, that's what gives me clarity. When I start to almost dream the real, make what is not real, real as much as I possibly can. And, but it begins with what am I optimizing for? And then being able to just examine that choice more clearly to try, sort of try it on, as you say.
Isn't one of the things you mentioned, Brendan said, was generate energy?
Energy's key.
Yeah. So part of that too relates to this developing clarity, and that, you know, to develop clarity, I want to be attentive around the things that give me energy that breed more, right?
Right. What takes away my energy? Yes.
Exactly. So when you think about like, what are the activities or places or people that just feed me and that I just have more energy after being around them or doing them. You know, it's really interesting even in looking at occupations and what people, you know, do, and that when they're sort of on the cusp of burnout, that it might seem antithetical to go, oh, I'm going to go work more. But there are these ways, and it might not be related to your actual day job, but similar, wherein it does feed you and gives you the energy so that it actually mitigates that direction of burnout that you're struggling. Because again, it's like, oh, it's oxygen. And when I think about it, like when people, like the question that comes to mind was be like, how do I know? How do I tell when that's there? And it's like, think about the things you can't stop talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the things that it's like, yeah, I'm always going to want to do that.
For sure. Yeah. What's got your full attention that somebody else would be like, yeah, but tell me more about that. And you just cannot stop talking to them about it. But, you know, I think energy is sort of key because, you know, without energy, obviously, we don't have energy. And so we need that to move forward, to be excited, to be motivated, to be curious. So it's a key part. But, you know, again, back to this, you know, is it an innate ability or is it something that you can sort of like practice and learn? And I think energy is not something you just simply have. It's something you cultivate, right? It's something that you be aware of. Like we've said, the no a-hole rule, for example, is a good book. Knowing people that are around you that take rather than give, that pull you down rather than lift you up. And so if you're examining ways to kind of maintain or increase your energy, locate the things that take all of your time, locate the things or people that take all of your energy, and you'll begin to get back margin in order to have.
Yep. Now, the other thing that I can't help but talk about as we're talking about energy is perspective and taking the long view. I would say that high performance mindset always has the long view in mind. And so it helps manage some of the energy or going, you know, gosh, I'm really tired, or I've gotten hit a number of times, like not literally, but like emotionally in doing whatever, you know, dream I have or goal I'm trying to set, you know, and I just want to give up. But if I'm like, yes, but the long view, or this happened and this happened and this, and I'm just feeling beat down, it goes, yeah. But I always say when things feel the hardest, when it's like, oh my gosh, I have like nothing left, I'm like, I must be so headed in the right direction because there would not be this much opposition if I wasn't headed the right way. So, and again, then I reevaluate and go, I must really want this because I'm willing to endure it.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes pain is the indicator, right? It's like, wow, I'm really feeling it here. I'm feeling beat down. And I guess, yeah, perspective taking really is key there because perspective really is everything. It really is. I'm reminded again and again, a small anecdote, I would say, and it's semi-unrelated. We live in a small town now. We moved from where we used to live closer to Austin. We're living just outside of Austin in a town called Dripping Springs. And it's a very, very small town here. It's like, you know, sub 5,000 people, maybe even less than that. I don't even know. maybe 7,000 people, but it's small. And there's a small pizza shop in the area. And it seems like, you know, in every other way, it should be considered a hole in the wall kind of place. Like, not expensive pizza, small staff, no glitz and glamour, no delivery. Like, you literally go there and get the pizza or you don't get the pizza. So not a lot of frills. In a lot of ways, you would see it as a hole in the wall. And the perspective shifted for me, not because I thought that, but I thought it could be. You know, so I was evaluating the quality level of this pizza shop. And as any new small town, you got to have at least one good trusty pizza shop nearby because you can't always make dinner. And sometimes you need a B plan. And for me, the perspective was whenever I met the owners. And they're such a sweet, they're mom and dad, but they're older. They're probably in their 50s. But they are the only two working there, their husband and wife, and they're super sweet. And I just see everybody that talks to them love them. They care for them. There was a birthday party there, and the person came up and said, you know, Mr. Lee, thank you so much. And so for me, perspective is like, you know, you can have this assumed belief based upon the book cover, the inside jacket, the color of the book, you know, the typeface they use to design it, all these other things. Like, all these things can give you an assumption, but the perspective shifted for me about the quality level of this place and what it means to the town when I knew who was involved and behind it. And so for me, now I'm like, this is the best pizza shop because this place has heart. And that was the perspective shift for me.
That's huge. That's huge. Well, and I would say, you know, that really how you treat people also matters. Like, you know, in terms of high performance, some people can be, you know, perform, but off the field, maybe not so much. That it's like there is a consideration for others amidst that. And that not everybody's in the same place. Like, thank God that these individuals are like, I want to settle here so we can start this pizza shop so people can have a plan B because we all need that.
Precisely. Precisely. Yeah, I think... Yeah, how you perform on and off the field is certainly key in your personality, too, because like that goes back to the whole, are you somebody who gives or takes the energy away or gives or takes the motivation away? Because like if you are gung-ho and then somebody comes in the room and you can feel that energy shift, and we've talked about that before with mirror neurons and things like that, like these are all things that come into play, and like we are electrical chemical beings that just can't help but push our energy around. Like, it's just natural for us. We are built on energy. But you see somebody come in a room and you see things shift and you see things change because of just an energy.
Yep. So I think about it like in the workplace and working with teams, right? And so maybe somebody like hits it out of the ballpark, say they're in sales and like they just crush it. But, you know, they also have a negative impact on the rest of the team because of the manner in which they go about crushing it. I mean, I can use examples from, you know, I think I've shared, but I'm on the sidelines of a soccer field often throughout the weekend. And I had, you know, like little 11, 12-year-old kiddo totally taunting parents at a game recently. And I was like, what? Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. The ref did have a sidebar conversation with said child. But these are like qualities, characteristics, and the reason I bring it up is because it can detract from teams' high performance. Because from a leadership perspective, you can go, why are we tolerating this? It's sort of like, I'm going to accept bad behavior for the sake of the goal. Mm-hmm. So maybe another way that we look at it is even like a sense of integrity around values and what you're committed to and what you're willing to pay to reach that high performance.
Yeah. And sometimes you flex, you know, and you give people a chance to change. And I guess in this 11-year-old's case, hopefully he does change, or he or she does change, because eventually they'll become an adult and have a different brain, all that good stuff. But, you know, in a different setting, you give people the benefit of the doubt. You give people permission to mess up and second, third chances potentially. But if they're complete and utterly, you know, toxic, It's a first time no go. You got to go. And almost immediately when it's extreme toxicity, there's no line for that.
Yeah, so I would maybe go high performance, sort of that mindset is evaluating and sort of looking at what you're bringing to the teams that you're around. And it doesn't have to just be in the workplace. I mean, we can look at this in terms of families, you know, couples, dyads, like what are you trying to do? Because to your initial point about control, it matters the things we have charge over. And like, I'm not in charge of team members. I am definitely not in charge of my kids and their choices. I can influence them by all means, but you know, that really is key in sort of learning to work with other people and flex so that you reach the that best possible outcome, you know, that you want.
If you're like me, you probably drink coffee almost on a daily basis, either to wake up because you love the coffee, because you use it as a morning dessert or a treat, or whatever your reason is that you drink coffee. Usually it's because you have a morning routine, which we talk about quite a bit here on Brain Science. Routines are important. Habits are important. We talk about habit stacking. I stack several habits around my coffee habit. So that's what places it close and near and dear to my heart. So it's very challenging to try to curb or cut out the coffee habit I have each morning. But to be creative and to create content that we do here on Brain Science and the rest of the Changelog podcast universe, it requires a lot of focus and a lot of energy. And it can be very hard to balance them. Too much energy, and I feel amped and I feel jittery and ready to bounce off the walls, and I speak too fast instead of feeling dialed in. But we got in touch with Magic Mind, and I'm very excited about this because it takes a lot of the really interesting scientific things you can do around caffeine, adding certain things to the caffeine ritual to get better effects from it. I'd actually heard from a doctor about matcha green tea, and I tried to switch to it. I tried to do matcha green lattes and add some turmeric in there. But something about coffee just made me miss it, and I couldn't fully move to something else instead of coffee. So the cool thing about Magic Mind is that you don't have to remove coffee from your routine. Changing habits, breaking routines, making new routines, incredibly hard. They created this great drink that is a single shot of drink that you can take alongside your morning routine. You take it right along with your coffee. So fast forward to a few weeks ago, our friends at Magic Mind sent over a few bottles for me to try out. And I was a skeptic. I was not sure if this would actually, one, taste good, two, be able to be incorporated into my flows and rituals in the morning. I wasn't sure if I had to remove coffee or if I can take it with it or if it was an and or. It's actually a both. So I was very excited about that, that I can remain a coffee drinker for life, but get better effects from it. So I was able to incorporate Magic Mind into my morning routine. It tastes great. It's really easy to take along with coffee. And I was focused on day one. And I was not sure, as I said, a skeptic. And I wasn't sure if it was real. I wasn't sure if it would actually do what it said it would do. My energy levels were high. I was totally focused. And I was thinking, is this me manifesting this, or is this a supplement of Magic Mind making this happen with my coffee? Well, day two, similar results. Day three, same results. And I only got three bottles. So I was kind of bummed when day four came around because things changed. But I am definitely a believer. I've now got a subscription myself. I've tested out the waters, and that's what I encourage you to do. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, man, I could really use more energy, I can use more focus, I love coffee, I don't want to change my morning routine, I would love to have something that adds to my coffee morning ritual or afternoon ritual or whenever you drink it to give me better effects from the process of drinking coffee, or something that gives you that extra boost, that extra focus that's for you and not against you. That is what Magic Mind is. So be your own scientist. Go to magicmind.co/brainscience. Read their articles, watch their videos, do your own research and see if this is something that makes sense for you to try out. If you do, of course, use our link and code to get some discounts. You can go to magicmind.co/brainscience and use the code brainscience. Now, as I said, be your own scientist, do your own research, check this out for yourself. read up on it, search on YouTube. That's something I do often when I find something new to try out, which is what I did. I did my own research on Magic Mind before I even consumed it. So I encourage you to do the same thing. Again, magicmind.co/brainscience. Use the code BRAINSCIENCE to get, 56% off your first subscription or 20% off your first one-time purchase. So again, do your own research, be your own scientist, gather your own data, and give it a try if it makes sense for you. magicmind.co/brainscience and use the code BRAINSCIENCE. How does focus play a role in high performance?
Well, remember, you're going to feed whatever it is you focus on. And I think about this a lot, having worked with so many people with ADHD who have trouble focusing. And, you know, I'm always filtering information and evaluating and going like, that's important, disregard this, prioritize that, yada, yada. But when you're distracted or you don't have that focus, it again takes away from the speed in which you achieve things and where you're going. I mean, sort of like imagine I have my shopping list and it's like, here's the things, either be it for the holidays or the grocery store. But then you start like window shopping or like just lollygagging through the different aisles. You're apt to find a lot of things you didn't plan on purchasing.
Never happens to me.
Never. Especially not in Target, ever.
And I'm being serious. I'm not even boasting, but I'm being very serious. Like, I make lists before I go into stores. I make lists before I go into the virtual stores. Like, if I go to Amazon, it's specific. It's not, let me browse a genre or a section. Now, if I'm doing research or evaluation or things like that, then yes. But, like, the list, which is, I think, a key to focus. Like, if you understand where you're trying to go, it's almost a map. Right? I'm going from this place to this place to this place. And when I go there, I'm not picking up extras. Now, if I do get more than I went for, it's because I forgot to put it on my list.
Yes, that's awesome. But it really highlights how important the focus is because, again, with a list, you spent time to do it in advance, but then you were clear in the objective, completed it, and then can move on to other things so that, you know, you're achieving the other aspects in your life that you want to do.
Yeah, I feel for me, focus is key. And maybe that's a lesson we bring back to bringing back this show because we weren't able to focus, you know, for a bit on this endeavor, despite having tremendous enjoyment, tremendous appreciation for the thing. But we were able to see the long view well enough to say it's okay to pause. And if it comes back, it comes back. It was never a forever go away thing for me. It was always, let's recollect our situations and come back when we can have focus. Because if you don't have focus, you meander. As you said, you pick up extra items at Target. You know, you end up window shopping and potentially you start dreaming about the things that you don't have. You're not in the present. You can't be thankful for what you have and you know, those kind of things, which I think keep you grounded in your clarity of what your actual goals are versus this sort of dream and resentment of things. And like next thing you know, you're unhappy or depressed because, you know, you've let the wrong attention in your brain come back. Meanwhile, you should focus on that list and only go in for what you came for.
Right. So I would say, I mean, be vigilant. Mm-hmm. Around your focus. Like, I mean, there are so many things that compete for our attention in today's world. And so if you're not deliberate, like just like sort of drifting, right? If I'm not tethered or anchored in some sort of way, I'm just going to drift. And that to perform, right, is literally going, well, what am I performing in? Like, what is it that I really want to achieve? And then being deliberate. I mean, if I don't care about, you know, gosh, pick something, you know, I'm not likely going to spend much of my time, energy, or my mind investing in that lane. I mean, I could use the example of golf. Like, I don't golf. I'm like, people love it. I think it's probably a great sport. I don't spend time like golfing, not even putt-putt. There's a little bit of golf or a lot around where I'm at now. And
very common. Yes, yeah. Very common in your area to be golfing.
Yeah. And that's okay. And I'm so grateful that there are other people who do enjoy it, because this is how the world goes round and different people are invested in other things. But going, what are the things that I'm really about? Can I identify, you know, the things I really value? I mean, we even do this within our family and talking about it with our kids. Like, if somebody asked you, what would you say our family's about? Because I want to get them thinking and noticing that. Because, I mean, really, more than anything, like for us with raising our kids, I want my kids to be able to think critically, you know? And I've given examples. I'm like, if somebody tells you, you know, that the sky is, you know, purple, that, you know, and it's sun shining and blue, that you can be like, maybe not. Like, not just taking everything at face value. And so our thought life is valuable time spent reflecting on and looking at that, as well as, you know, how we're feeling in different settings and endeavors that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. This aspect of your family and the direction is like mission-minded. It's something we said in the military a lot. You know, are you mission-minded, soldier? Because if you were in your unit or your crew or whatever it might be, you know, and you don't know what your mission is, well, like, are you really part of the team? You know what I mean? And it could be a solo team. Like, this could be the same. Like, this could be transplanted from individual to multi-member teams, is being mission-minded. The list, the focus, like, these are all sort of like, you know, synonyms to the same. You know, it's being mission-minded, I think, is super cool, especially in a family, because, like, you know, my kids can't follow unless I'm leading them in a direction that says, this is where we're trying to go. When somebody asks you about our family, where are we trying to go? You know, maybe there's one right answer, but maybe there's just a directional right answer, right? Like, we are about, you know, X, and this is what we do, and this is how we work, and being very clear. But that mission-mindedness is key for individuals and for teams.
And I love that you bring that up, because with each mission, too, there's opportunity for learning, right? I mean, there's like sort of short-term missions and then a longer pull mission, right? Like, you had a mission being in part of the military, right? To serve and protect. But then there were smaller missions that supported that initiative. So in the same way, how do we look at, you know, doing that across different aspects of our life? Like, here's our broad sweep, and then here are the mini missions. And how do we respond to challenges that emerge as we're going forward?
Mm-hmm. In terms of resources, I'm sure we have a couple episodes we can mention as resources to dig further. But one you mentioned was the Harvard Business Review. There was a book that you had held up before the call. What was that book? Can people get that? Or is that exclusive to, like,
yeah,
folks like you?
Nope.
Who are just like brainiacs, you know?
No. And in fact, I mean, caught this on a trip right in one of the nice stores in the airport. So it's a Harvard Business Review. They put out a number of their like 10 best articles on a particular topic. So this just happened to be on high performance.
So it's 10 different articles from the Harvard Business Review on high performance. Okay, cool.
Yep.
And so we'll find a link if we can for the internet to go check that out. And then I mentioned then, but you also mentioned, reminded me, hey, have you, you know, heard of or read or listened to this book? Because I listen to books more often than I read them. High Performance Habits by Brendon Burchard. So we'll link that up as well. I recommend that. He gives a great framework. And I think if anything for me, like, he opens it up with the fact that these are not innate abilities you have that make you be high performance. It's the things you do. Mm-hmm. And I may have stolen his words. I don't know. So that's probably why you like them. It's the things you, because I listened to it and then my memory baked it in. So now is it mine or is it his? Well, I heard it somewhere. So it's now it's mine. But he gave a great, you know, overview of like what it is that you do rather than what you are, you know, initializing your life, whether it's God-given talent or, you know, beauty or whatever it might be that gets you to certain places, or skill, you know, muscle or whatever it might be, that athleticism that's just natural. Well, those may be true in certain areas, very specific areas, but like in high performance and like achieving goals and success, not so much as these other things that he talked about. So I love that about his book. And then we'll find some links. I mentioned Clarity and Expectation. I'm sure there's a few others in our past catalog we can reference, but is there anything else we can share as a resource to take away?
Well, more to be continued. in upcoming episodes.
More to be continued. And what can we expect from this thing we're doing here? Is it once a month, I think we said we can do, which is, I think, maybe another lesson is like, if you do resume something, what can you commit to?
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Having some sort of, you know, arbitrary deadline or arbitrary goal can be helpful in pushing resume on the hard things. I think producing the show is hard. For me, it's challenging because it's a deep thinking, you know, hour-ish of time. And that kind of is hard sometimes. Like when you have so much else going on, like I don't just talk in microphones around here, Marielle. I'm sure our listeners may or may not know that. And our listenership for this show in particular transcends changelog.com podcast, that we have primarily a software developer audience, primarily, I would say 100% primarily, except for this show. This is the only show that really reaches the mainstream. So if you're listening to this and you're a doctor, lawyer, policeman, police officer, whatever you might be, you know, in some different lane than software development, then welcome. Hello. Thank you for listening to the show. But like we do other shows that are really around software and I would say curiosity around software development. So if you're in that lane at all, go listen to those shows. But wow, I mean, it's just so crazy to show up to this show. It takes so much energy. That to me personally is what's so hard for me because it's a big thinking show for me. It's a lot of emotional investment into thinking through these things. They don't come naturally. It takes research, takes time. And it is just a challenging show to produce from that regard.
Yeah, but I love it. It all started with curiosity.
It did, yeah. I couldn't stop it. I couldn't stop, you know, like where are more resources on the brain that can help me think and understand more clearly?
Yeah, I'll share with our listeners because that really highlights like Adam and my first interaction when we met and going, you know, oh, you listen to books? He's like runs over and gets his phone, like pulls out his Audible library. And I'm like, I pull up mine and we start going through all of the different things we were reading, which.
And I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, you were a psychologist and you know all these things. And I'm like, wow, what do you know about this? What do you know about that? And she couldn't stop telling me. And so I was like, this should be a podcast. Cause I'm sure people will listen to, you know, my curiosity of pulling things out of you and potentially future guests. And we just saw a world of opportunity with this. But all that to say is that we are back. We have committed to once a month. So expect 12 episodes next year. No more, no less. I'm just kidding. Maybe there's more, who knows, but hopefully no less. And we both have busy lives, but we both deeply care about our listeners and this show and the material we can bring forth through it. You know, we obviously have unstoppable curiosity, so that doesn't change. It's just a matter of being able to show up. And I think that's really half the battle sometimes. Just showing up and delivering is so hard sometimes when you have so many other things competing for your energy, your focus, your time, these things we talked about being high performance. So while this show may be a burden, it's also very much a blessing.
Yes, I couldn't have said it better myself. So I'm so happy to be back and having these conversations and continuing to be curious, because I think that's just what makes life so much fun, is just the relentless pursuit of learning.
Always be curious. So being curious really is what drives both myself and Marielle. So if that's anything to take note of, maybe you can apply being curious in your life and to be your own scientist. One of the things I've found personally is to apply this principle that I've learned from Marielle of be my own scientist in my life. Examine the things that matter to me. Scoop up all the data that just comes from trying things new, trying new patterns, trying new habits. But the point is really to be mindful of what you're doing, how you're doing it, and gather as much data as you can and review that information and then do the next right thing. It was awesome having you today. Thank you for listening. Tell a friend about the show if you loved it. If it helped you change one single thought of your life, please share the show with a friend. BrainScience.fm.